it is important for couples to have this conversation about parenting styles and expectations and goals, beginning even prior to the child arriving, the baby arriving. This conversation, of course, is going to be ongoing as their child or children grow, because their needs are going to change, and their development is going to continue moving, and it's going to be an ongoing journey, an ongoing conversation.
Inform, educate, advocate. This is your source for all things early childhood. From nurturing healthy development to overcoming behavioral challenges and recognizing mental health needs. Welcome to Centering Kids, advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood. It's a subject so popular it sparked millions of memes across social media. You drop the kids at their grandparents and specifically forbid things like sugar, YouTube, and soda. But as soon as you leave the house, all bets are off and the kids get whatever their little hearts desire. The memes we see online are hilarious, but the reality can be quite frustrating, especially when your parenting boundaries and philosophies are constantly being ignored or dismissed by a spouse, co-parent, or relative. Hi, I'm Marib Favorite, and you're listening to Centering Kids, advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood. Today, we are discussing ways that we can parent or caregive as a team. Our guests today are mental health counselors Michelle Duss and Stephanie Essex. They work as social-emotional consultants for our Starfish Academy preschool. They have a popular YouTube show called Coffee with the Consultants, Parenting Advice and the Time It Takes to Drink a Coffee, which just celebrated its year anniversary. Welcome, Michelle and Stephanie.
Thank you for having us. So a little bit about what we do as social-emotional consultants for Starfish Academy. We spend a lot of time working with the kids and the teachers and families on social-emotional skills and appropriate developmental practices, you know, so that we can help the kids to be successful. Mm-hmm. So we go into the classrooms, we work with the kids on big emotions, we work on social skills, we also help coach teachers, and when parents have questions or they need help, we are always there to provide help for them.
And we already mentioned your YouTube episodes, which can be viewed on the Florida Center's YouTube channel. Can you tell us just a little bit about the concept behind those episodes?
Well, we wanted to come up with parenting tips and tricks that parents could enjoy in 5 minutes or so. You know, we wanted to give easy strategies and provide resources so that parents could more easily navigate things with their children.
And I, for one, love them. It's simple and fast, and I can do it, like you said, in the time it takes to have a cup of coffee. So back to our topic on team parenting. It's one that you've broached on your Coffee with the Consultants show. For me, the term sparks visions of a parent donning sports gear with a baby, ready to pass the child to the next player, maybe another parent or possibly a relative. But what happens if they're on the opposing team? What we're talking about here, too, is, you know, when we're dealing with divorced parents or parents that trying to co-parent, I'm sure that's probably pretty challenging sometimes. So how do you approach a situation when a parent or maybe the parenting team is having some kind of issue with another family or caregiver?
So that is something that we can approach and that we face from time to time. And it can be a delicate approach depending on the situation. Personally, as I'm working with families, and I believe Stephanie probably would agree, is that we would inquire a little bit more about what the specific challenges are and what the presenting situation is to have a better idea of the strategies that would best support the parents in that particular situation. And of course, there's going to be situations where team parenting just isn't possible between parents, maybe due to safety concerns, lack of involvement from one partner, or possibly even court orders in place. And in those situations, hopefully there's other primary caregivers engaged with that one parent and child or children to be a part of the team parenting dynamic. some of the strategies that may be helpful to parents that are facing challenges in teen parenting. Could be something as having something as simple as providing the family member with psychoeducation on that particular topic or question, or even having a therapist that's there to facilitate a conversation between family members regarding the particular issue at hand and some possible solutions and strategies to help resolve that situation.
Excellent. Excellent. So what would you tell parents who are just starting out and want to make sure that they're giving their child the best environments and most guidance with a team parenting approach?
So in that, starting out and having that conversation, really communication is key. It is important for couples to have this conversation about parenting styles and expectations and goals, beginning even prior to the child arriving, the baby arriving. This conversation, of course, is going to be ongoing as their child or children grow, because their needs are going to change and their development is going to continue moving, and it's going to be an ongoing journey, an ongoing conversation. And the goal is really to work together as a team and not against each other in this journey as we parent our kids. And one of the best ways to do that is to have open and honest communication without having blame. Another important thing is, of course, when you're parenting children, there's going to be situations that come up, and in the midst of the situation, you and your partner have a difference of opinion on how to handle that situation. And in those particular times, the best is to move forward and resolve that situation as quickly and safely as possible, and then outside of that situation, away from the children, have a conversation of what worked, what didn't work. Again, withholding that blame from each other and being able to come to a resolution together, but not while the situation is occurring. That's going to cause more divisiveness between everybody. So to have that outside of that particular situation, because it's going to happen.
Oh, as a parent, I can totally see that. I mean, it's happened to me a million times. And honestly, it's so interesting that you would say that you have to start before the baby's born, because, you know, you have so many philosophies or things that you want to do as a parent, but like you're saying, they always change, because pretty much everything I thought I was going to be as a parent flew out the window after at least I had the second one. So, so what challenges, can you like give an example of a challenge for one of your clients and how like a parent overcame that challenge?
I worked with a family that they were separated and they were having a lot of big feelings towards each other. There was a lot of contention and they were having a hard time being a team for their kids. Really, it wasn't seeing their kids. They were really seeing each other, and they were putting the kids in the middle, and it wasn't a healthy situation, and the kids were having a lot of aggression and anxiety and tantrums all the time, a lot of just fighting against the parents constantly. And so when they came in to see me, we had to have conversations about how kids develop and appropriate ways to coach your kids and work with your kids. And we had to talk about how we work together as a team and how when we speak harshly to one another that can affect the children, and how that's a model for relationships and for problem solving. And so it took a long time. It took a really long time. We had to talk a lot because, honestly, when feelings come into it, sometimes we're so stressed, we can't think about what's happening with kids. We can only think about what's in the here and now, what's going on with us. And so through some mediation and education and just processing feelings, they finally were able to get to a point where they were trying small things, trying to work together, trying to see each other's, you know, plan for the kids. And it got to the point where the kids started feeling better. They started being less anxious. We were seeing less behaviors, and then they were able to see their children and see these positive changes, and that encouraged even more of that, you know, team, working as a team, and they honestly started communicating better, and it helped their relationship with each other, and so there was way less fighting, and so overall everybody was doing so much better. So
that is amazing. I'm sure that was just so much less stress on everybody once they kind of came to that resolution. So, you know, obviously probably the divorced or the separated parents is an example of team parenting. But what about, you know, they say that it takes a village, and we rely, I know I do at least, heavily on my relatives for childcare and just support. What happens when, you know, one of your relatives that you depend on is kind of taking your philosophies and your parenting philosophies into account and just kind of not listening to what you want for your children?
I would say that that's a very tricky situation. Mm-hmm. And I also would like to say that we want kids to be happy and healthy, and we want them to have positive relationships, and we want to do all these wonderful things so our kids grow up to be these great adults. And sometimes it doesn't work out. Like, you can try and try. We can't force the other person to follow our lead. And so in many situations, sometimes it's rethinking our plan. It's deciding maybe another caregiver, another family member is a better fit for the health of our child, for doing what's best. If there aren't other options, my hope is that if it is, say, grandma, and through your relationship, you're able to communicate, to educate, to compromise and collaborate for the best interest of the child. And I think some of that's education. Sometimes it's seeking out somebody, say like Michelle and I, or somebody to help mediate or help make like maybe some sort of a plan, help make compromises. Sometimes it requires somebody else, and sometimes it requires a reflection on that this is in the best interest of the child, that we're working for the child. We're not here to work against each other.
Right.
So
that's interesting. And you were saying that when caregivers or parents don't have a unified front, that sometimes it can manifest itself in the child. Now, you work with children every day. So what types of behaviors and do you see in these children when the parents are or caregivers are not on the same page and are fighting in front of them?
Sure. So when there is conflict in the home or between homes, that absolutely can cause some manifestation of behaviors. And I think Stephanie hit on it with some of those behaviors that she discussed, tantrums, anxiety. Some of those things we can see both in home and in the classroom with our kids that we're working with. That's where going back to talking about communication, and it's an ongoing evolving journey, whether it's with your partner who's in the home with you or with those primary caregivers or even with your spouse who you're no longer in a relationship with. You're still in a relationship because of the child. And having that ongoing communication as you move forward in parenting your kids can help reduce, as Stephanie pointed out, some of those behaviors that we're seeing manifest in the home and in the school. Talking to your partner, talking to your team caregiver that you're working with, because things change, our vision changes, as you pointed out too, what you thought was going to be the way it is not what's happening, and needs arise. So being able to be mindful and insightful of, hey, we need to work together on being more playful, or we need to work together on how we approach a certain situation and how we move forward with our children, and you'll see some of those behaviors dissipate as we go forward in a positive direction together, working together.
And now, Stephanie, you mentioned something about your relationship with your spouse or your relationship with the child's caregiver is a model for the child, for their future relationships. In your experience, do you feel there are future implications for children who are raised in a non-unified front? And have you seen those play out?
We're talking about implications, and I think that I'm going to turn this to the positive side, even though it's not quite what you're asking. So I think that the benefits of caregiving as a team are so numerous. As parents, you want your kids to have resiliency and self-regulation, be empathetic, and have healthy relationships. When we have healthy communication with each other, the kids learn how to self-regulate. They learn empathy skills. They learn problem-solving skills. They learn how to cope with various challenges. And then they build on these skills as they practice them throughout their lives with peers, romantic partners, and eventually their own children. And this idea creates a cycle it's like a healthy cycle that moves from generation to generation, and that's what we want. So I would say there's many positive implications to working as a caregiving team. And the best thing, honestly, you could do as a caregiving team is work towards your child rather than against each other.
Oh, that's a beautiful sentiment, I think. So on a positive note, because this did take kind of a very serious, it's been a very serious conversation with, you know, it's a serious subject, so makes sense. But do we have, ladies, maybe one of you could share a very positive outcome that came from, you know, just two people or maybe a person and their relative working together? And what was that? What did it look like?
So, yeah, we can certainly share a positive. Working with a family who struggled with parenting as a team, both having different ideas about parenting styles and how to handle discipline situations and behaviors as they came up and just approaching raising kids, they overlapped on some things, and on others they had a difference of opinion and they didn't agree. One of those things was in how to discipline, and through conversations with each other and periodically having information shared from a neutral party, they were able to kind of start coming together, where before they were on these two separate paths of like, okay, you do this and I'm going to do this and we'll just hope for the best in the middle. They started to kind of have this conversation with each other to realize, oh, well, what we're doing isn't working and we're seeing these behaviors, and that kind of mirrors what I've done when I've talked to my child, and I don't really like that. And they've started having these little conversations, little by little, like, hey, maybe we need to approach being with them when they're having these big feelings instead of sending them to their room when they're in trouble for something. And as they started working together and making that journey and kind of coming to the middle ground, the behaviors that they were seeing with their daughter was they were reducing. They would see some of those big tantrums that Stephanie had referenced before. They were seeing some of those things where toys might have been thrown. There was a lot of resistance and uncertainty, and they saw those starting to reduce. And is it perfect every single day? Not always, but there's much improvement in both the home and the school setting.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty, you know, big realization when you start looking at your kid and seeing some of your faults within yourself, but something that you can truly work on. And I think that's wonderful that that happened for those parents. And I wanted to, we talked a little bit about your position, but we failed to mention that Starfish Academy, which is in Sarasota, Florida, is the only preschool in the county with full-time social-emotional consultant. And what that means is that you, the kids and their parents, have access to you two professionals to come to you with any concerns, or that's such an awesome resource. So, I mean, and I know you do the Coffee with Consultants, you do some parenting classes as well, right? So can you just kind of brush on that a little bit, on how you help kids and parents?
Well, we do, like you said, Coffee with the Consultants, so tips and tricks in a short amount of time, which is, I feel like, in this day and age, you know, that's what people are needing. But we also do something called Parent Cafe, which is really cool. It's a little bit longer. We usually try to do almost an hour, and, you know, we do activities, and we talk about, you know, we pick topics that parents are interested in hearing more about, and we expand on it, and we still give resources, we still give, you know, tips, and we, you know, parents have requested that we do it more often, so I feel like it's been really successful. We do social skills with the kids,
mm-hmm.
Which is super fun. We work on emotional regulation, we work on empathy, we work on feelings. I mean, we work on a variety of things, but the kids love it. We do lots of activities, and we do books. We do all sorts of really fun things. And then we're also doing, like, circle time stuff and activities in the classroom with the kids. And, you know, as we're doing those things, we're modeling for the teachers maybe some social-emotional games and books and activities that they can do with the kids as well. So we're constantly working on things. We love doing consultations with teachers and parents and just, you know, working as a team. We're all a team here at Starfish. Again, the team approach, which is my favorite, because we're all here to wrap our arms around the kids and make them the best that they can be.
And as a parent of a child at Starfish Academy, whom you've met with and helped for a number of things, it's just a wonderful resource that parents have to go in. And I remember I was struggling with my child, had some really bad reactions to when I was picking him up. Mm-hmm. And you just gave me some really simple tips that I, you know, practiced, and it helped immensely. So I just really respect what you guys are doing, and keep up the good work. And we love Coffee with Consultants. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show today. And you are listening to Centering Kids, advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Centering Kids. You can visit the Florida Center for Early Childhood online at www.thefloridacenter.org to learn more and subscribe to this podcast. Have comments or suggestions for a show topic? Email us at podcast@thefloridacenter.org. Thanks again for joining us for Centering Kids, where early childhood experts give you tips and tools to help center children, foster their healthy development, and build stronger families.